and our Redeemer. Amen. Please have a seat. Thanks, those who led us in that wonderful Appalachian music. And thank you all for the music leadership every morning. It's just the best. It's the best. Kind of picking back up on something that was read last night. This is from the second chapter of Matthew, verses 10 and 11. When the Magi saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. I suppose it had been a pretty long journey. They were overjoyed when the star stopped. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down and paid him homage. And then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I grew up in the church and grew up hearing "We Three Kings of Orient Are" every Christmas season. And if you did the same, who among us was not fascinated with those characters that brought out those exotic gifts and wore that exotic clothing? I love the words of the hymn about the three gifts. "Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom." The three gifts are fascinating, and many sermons have been preached about them and a lot written about them. But what I want to ask about this morning, and us think about for a minute this morning, is what happened to those gifts after the Magi went on their way and left Bethlehem? What happened to these treasures? As the child Christ grew in the house, where were those things kept? Where was that gold, whatever it was? Were they gold coins? Were they gold ornaments? Some jewelry? A bar? Where was that frankincense kept? What did it look like? What did its container look like? Where was that myrrh kept? Was there some special place in the house? And what did he think about those things as he saw them as a child? Did you have any treasures around your house as a child? We had some at ours. We weren't wealthy people at all, but we had some treasures, at least things that in my child's eye, and even after growing into adulthood, I regarded as treasures. There was a $5 gold piece from around the beginning of the 20th century that my great uncle, Gene Posey, sheriff of Hayes County in the Hill Country in Texas, had brought to my grandparents and given to my dad at his birth. It was a birth gift. It was one of those Indian head gold pieces where it's not embossed. The image is not embossed. The image is engraved on the coin. Have you ever seen one of those? Well, that was in a little box that my mother kept in their room. And I was fascinated by that gold coin for many years. As I grew up and my parents got older, I also became fascinated with a photograph of them from the mid-40s. He in his Army Air Corps uniform, she in this beautiful lacy dress, taken just a day or two after they were married. And it was one of those sort of sepia tone things that had been hand-tinted. And not a lot of tinting, just the eyes had a little color. His uniform had a little color, her dress had a little color, very slight skin tones, but the thing that fascinated me was that old Army Air Corps patch on his uniform of those wings had those colors that had been hand added. It was a treasure. That photograph hangs now in my home. But there was another one. When I was 6 or 7 years old, my father had been a Christian just for about 2 years. He had experienced an adult conversion, and he was not a notorious sinner, but he had a serious conversion. And after that conversion, within a very few years, he became a deacon in the church, and he was one of those guys. He was so enthusiastic in his worship, so enthusiastic in following the Lord. I was so embarrassed to sit beside him at church. He sang so loud. He would have loved this Brightest and Best this morning. But there was a revival in our church, and they had one of those pack the pew contests. He credits my mom with having made all the calls, but he was responsible for bringing about 33 or 34 people to that revival. Some who met the Lord by virtue of that. And in honor of him having brought the most people to that revival, they awarded him a little pocket New Testament. Not just leather bound, but leather lined. You ever seen one of those really high quality, soft little pocket New Testaments? Black leather lined, New Testament and Psalms. My dad carried that in his shirt pocket until he died when I was 13 years old. He was 36. Shortly thereafter, I began to become serious about my faith. And I asked my mom if I could have that little New Testament, if I could start carrying it. It was one of the treasures in our home. I carried it in my pocket, carried it to school, would read it on breaks, find a few minutes, get alone with the Lord, read a couple of verses. And I remember when the Billy Graham Crusade came to the Astrodome in Houston in 62 or 63, I heard they were doing counselor training, and so I took that little New Testament with me to counselor training as about a 14-year-old boy and was trained to counsel people that were coming forward at a Billy Graham Crusade in the Astrodome. I used that little New Testament when I led people to Christ, just like my dad did. Well, I have a brother who's about 12 years younger than I am. He never had any memories of my dad because he was only about a year and a half old when he passed away. My brother came to visit me in Tennessee at Christmas. And I began to think about that little New Testament that I had in a cedar chest. And I thought, you know, I don't think Dwayne has ever even seen that thing. Couldn't remember if he had or not. And I told my wife, Janet, I said, you know, I think I'm going to pull that little New Testament out and show it to my brother and tell him its history, something about our dad's history and about our family history. And I fell silent for a minute, and Janet said something. She gave voice to it at the same time I was thinking it. Why don't you just give it to him, she said. A treasure that meant so much to me, that I'd had in my possession 43 years that he'd never seen. And I thought at the exact same time she was saying it, I thought, you know, I've had it long enough, way more than my share. He ought to be able to have this treasure if he would like to. Maybe at some point he'll want to pass it along to my sister. So I was able, over Christmas, as the whole family gathered together, to recount the story of that little New Testament and the story of Dad's conversion, the story of his enthusiastic, fervent following of the Lord, of his cherishing of the Scripture, tell the story, recount some family history, and then present the New Testament to my brother. Well, I learned something in that experience of giving away about relationship to treasures. I wonder if, as Jesus grew, what his relationship with those treasures were. I wonder if they ever had to spend any of that gold when times got hard. perhaps, as we were speculating yesterday, if Joseph was significantly older. I mean, we never see him spoken of in Jesus' later years. Perhaps the breadwinner of the family had died earlier, as the breadwinner in our family did. Maybe that gold had to be liquidated for them to eat. I don't know. What did they do with that frankincense? Did they have that myrrh? Was that one of the things that they actually took to the tomb? Did they still have it in the family at that point? I don't know. But I loved thinking about these treasures. I loved something Sam told us last night that I'd never really thought about, that whether there were three or four magi or more, who knows, there was at least one more seeker there, and it was the Father. He came seeking. John 4, 23 and 24 says this, as Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What was happening in Bethlehem is that the treasure of heaven had come down to earth. The Father sent away his most precious treasure. And why? To seek to reclaim a treasure he had lost. You and me, and all of us who got caught in the devil's trick and fell away from him. And the greatest treasure of heaven, Jesus, has restored the lost treasure to the Father's treasure house, all of his creation. In silence, let us adore him.